Welcome to The Man Chair, where two guys debate their best of lists in sports, TV, movies, music, and more. Our co-hosts, Brian Page and Jason Rogers, are lifelong friends who grew up three houses apart. They won the childhood lottery, being kids in a small Midwest town playing sports from sunup to sundown before social media was a thing. So sit back in your man chair, go back in time to when life was more simple, and join us as we debate our best of lists each week. And be sure to go directly to our Facebook page at themanchair.com and tell us what we got wrong, share your own list, or email us with suggestions for the next episode. Now on to the show. Oh, that intro music has me fired up for March Madness. If you're listening to this the morning that it was released, it is right around the corner, folks. And our episode today focuses on the top five March Madness upsets of all time. Jason, are you ready to have our men's list showdown as we're sitting back in our man chairs?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm an NFL guy. I love college football, NFL football, but I think the tournament might be the most exciting time of the year for me.
I could not agree more. I have to tell you that this is also the anniversary of my vasectomy. Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Gentlemen, if you're considering a vasectomy, there's no better time than the Thursday of the first March Madness day. I can tell you right now, you can milk that for all 4 days over the weekend, which I did. Just know that you have to schedule it about a year in advance. Jason, before we get started into our top five, are there any on the outside looking in that you want to bring up?
George Mason went on a run a few years ago. That's not on my list. Okay. That was pretty much, I kind of had my top five in mind, so I knew what I was looking at, and I was debating on putting George Mason in there or not, and George Mason was outside my top five. So no, that's the only one that I really debated putting in my top five that didn't make it.
And I'm pretty solid on my top five. I didn't have any that I felt like were really that close. So I think we get straight into the top five. Why don't you begin with your fifth?
From 1991, Duke UNLV. That was a game to go to the national championship. UNLV was 34-0. They were defending national champions on a 45-game winning streak. And they had played Duke the year before in the national championship game and blew them out by 30. It was 103-73. It was the most lopsided championship game in NCAA history. And I'm a Duke fan, and so that wasn't fun to watch. But in this game, UNLV was up 43-41 at half. Leitner got fouled with 12 seconds left, tied at 77. He goes to the line, makes both free throws. So UNLV is getting the ball out of bounds. Underneath the basket.
Larry Johnson brings the ball up. Looks like he wants to go all the way with it. He's outside now, stopping his dribble. Leitner on him. Hunt will have to do something.
Look at three.
Off the back.
Hoffman long.
Hurley's got it. Duke has done it. Duke has upset UNLV.
A game winning streak was over. Duke had got their revenge. And Duke went on to beat Kansas in the championship game to take the title. So that was my number five, and it's my favorite game on this list, but it's not the best upset. It was a 1-2, but Duke was supposed to get smoked. And if you remember, UNLV, they were a juggernaut. Stacey Augman, Larry Johnson, George Ackles, Anderson Hunt. I mean, they were loaded. But yeah, so I had Duke beating UNLV at number five.
And I'm glad you included them. The only reason I didn't is I didn't feel it was a huge upset looking back, but at the time it was, right? Because of what you said, right? 45 games unbeaten. And at that time, it just felt like they were so much more dominant than everybody else. I
mean, they were.
Brought up those names, particularly Larry Johnson, Stacey Augman.
Yeah.
And I could just envision, the Tark chewing on his towel, crouched down out of the court. And, you're right. That was a big game. But in retrospect, Duke was loaded, too. They had not only Bobby Hurley and Christian Leitner, but they had Grant Hill. And like you, I was a huge Duke fan because I'm a big Coach K fan. And, you know, it's really hard not to root for Duke and for Coach K. So that's a solid pick. My number five was on your list for the outside looking in. When number 11, George Mason, went on an unbelievable streak. They reeled off wins against number 6, Michigan State, number 3, North Carolina, and number 7, Wichita State, to earn an Elite Eight showdown with number 1, Connecticut, who they then beat to become the first small conference school to make the Final Four since 1979. And this happened in 2006. And Connecticut was loaded. They had 5 future NBA players on their roster. They had Rudy Gay, who was a 6'8 sophomore, who ended up being the number 8 pick in the NBA draft just a few months after that. And George Mason was on fire that game. They had 6 straight 3-point shots late in the game to flip a 9-point deficit into a 2-point lead. And that propelled them to win in overtime and still a tight one, 86-84. Jason, who is your number 4?
At number 4, I have the St. Peter's Peacocks beating Kentucky just a couple years ago. They were a number 15 seed beating a number 2. Only the 10th time a 15 has beat a number 2. They were 19-11 and won the Metro Atlantic Conference Tournament. And St. Peter's has an enrollment of 3,500 students. So it's a super small campus. Kentucky, in comparison, has 22,000 on their campus.
Good Lord.
But, yeah. So this Kentucky was loaded. Kentucky, they were picked in 23% of the brackets to win the national championship that year. So, I mean, this was a huge upset. They got beat in overtime, 85-79. And St. Peter's went on a little run. They went on to beat Murray State in the next round, and they beat Purdue to become the first ever 15 seed to make it to the Elite Eight. And I remember watching the game, and we live in Southern Ohio, so there's a ton of Kentucky fans, and we were at B-Dubs watching the game. And I'm not a Kentucky fan at all, so it was pretty fun to watch this. So St. Peter's beating Kentucky was number 4 for me.
Now, I got to give you props. Figuring out that 23% of the brackets picked Kentucky to win at all is some darn good research.
Yeah. They were a hot team that year.
My number 4 is Villanova, Georgetown in the 1985 National Championship game. What a game.
Was that Patrick Ewing on Georgetown that year? Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
Let's set the stage. 5 players from Georgetown. Again, this is back in 1985. 5 players from Georgetown were drafted to play in the NBA from that team, including Reggie Williams, who went 4th overall, and of course, NBA legend Patrick Ewing. And he was the first overall draft pick, NBA Hall of Famer, you know, one of the best of all time. As for number 8 seed Villanova, they barely got into the tournament. They made it to the title game, even though they barely got into the tournament, and they had to face Georgetown, who was the not only number 1, but they were the defending national champion. And Villanova had lost to the Hoyas twice in the regular season. But Villanova hit 78.6% from the field. That was the last college basketball game played without a shot clock. So basically, they like never missed, and they could hold the ball as long as they wanted. So it was enough to score what for more than 30 years was arguably the greatest upset in NCAA tournament history. And I spent a lot of time diving into this one because of a really great story done in Sports Illustrated by a writer by the name of Tim Layden. And the story is entitled The Perfect Game. And if you enjoy college basketball history, I urge you to Google The Perfect Game in Sports Illustrated. This is a quick reminder to go directly to our Facebook page at themanchair.com and tell us what we got wrong, share your own list, or email us with topic suggestions for the next episode. Now back to the show. Jason, who was your number 3?
At number 3, I have NC State
over Houston, 1983.
Okay, so that's farther up my list.
Okay, we can wait for that then.
Okay, who do you have for your number two?
I have Fairleigh Dickinson beating Purdue in 2023.
All right.
Which I think you might want to talk about that one.
I need to take that one. That was my number two. And I know I'm skipping forward a little bit. Now, my number three was the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. You know, if you're playing in March Madness and the school ends with county, you should win that game. But anyhow, University of Maryland, Baltimore County, Virginia.
This is now, my number one.
Okay, so I'll leave that one for you. And I got to talk the Fairleigh Dickinson Purdue game because I was there. And it was in Columbus. I made the flight up. So anyhow, we're up there for that game, and I was with my buddy Brian Snow, and it was this like total serendipitous coincidence because he's a huge IU fan, and we're sitting around, oddly, a bunch of other IU fans. And for those of you who aren't aware, IU and Purdue are just bitter rivals. Right. They hate each other. And by the way, like when we were walking in, the Purdue fans were obnoxious, cocky. Like I wanted Purdue to lose just because of how they were talking down to the like nine Fairleigh Dickinson fans who were there. So Fairleigh Dickinson was the number 16 seed, but they did not win its conference. And the only reason that they got in was because the conference champ, Merrimack, wherever the hell that is, they were ineligible because the program was making the transition from Division II to Division I. So that's how Fairleigh Dickinson backed in. Purdue, who was the number one seed, was a 23.5-point favorite. Now, neither team shot well, and neither team pulled away until like the very end, when Fairleigh Dickinson, Sean Moore hit a three-pointer to give them a 61-56 lead with a minute four to go, and then they just hung on. And if that doesn't sound like a great time to be at, it was also St. Patrick's Day weekend. What a weekend.
Yeah. It was also the biggest upset in terms of point spread.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And Purdue had Zach Edey 7-4. He was the Big Ten and National Player of the Year. I don't know how they lost.
He is, and I obviously, when you see him in person, it's hard to describe how enormous that human being is.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I can't wrap my mind around it. And Fairleigh Dickinson didn't really have anybody with size. It's truly a miracle they won that game. Jason, I think that leaves us with first your number one and then my number one. Who is your number one?
So my number one was the University of Maryland, Baltimore County over Virginia. I mean, that's unbelievable. They were 24-10. This is the very first time a 16 seed has beaten a number one. Virginia was 31-2. They had only lost two games all year by a total of 8 points. Earlier in the year, UMBC lost to Albany 83-39.
I saw that.
83-39. And they make it into the tournament somehow and beat the number one overall seed, Virginia. It was 21-21 at halftime. Virginia they're known for their defense. I mean,
right.
You knew it was going to be low scoring.
Yeah.
But it was 21-21 at halftime.
It's like a JV game.
Yeah. UMBC went on runs of 10-4 in the second half. They went on an 11-7 run. They went another 5-0 run. And this was unprecedented because, like I said, they were a 16 seed, but Virginia was known for their defense. Virginia ended up getting beat 74-54. They got beat by 20 points.
Just, yeah.
And they were 20-point favorites.
They were 20-point favorites. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see why that's your number one, because it's not only, you know, the first time that a 16 seed had beaten a number one seed in 135 tries.
Yeah.
But yeah. They beat the pants off of them.
Well, the 20-point loss, it was the largest deficit they've suffered all season. Like I said, they've only lost two games by a combined 8 points. And it was the only time they allowed as many as 70 in that season. And they did that to a number 16 seed. UMBC, Jarius Lyles, had 28 points. And he was named the most valuable player of the game. But, I mean, when this happened, I remember thinking a 16 is never, ever going to beat a number one. It's not supposed to happen. And especially a team like Virginia, they were on fire that year. Nobody scored on them. And they won the ACC, beaten Duke, beaten North Carolina. So they won maybe the toughest basketball conference in the nation. And then go on to get beat by the 16th seed. But the very next year, they did come back and win the national championship.
Yeah.
They might have learned a lesson.
My number one is, it's special for so many reasons, right? So it's NC State beating Houston 54-52 in the national championship game in 1983. So this was the game that gave us Jimmy V running onto the court in absolute shock and joy all over his face. Like you could see as he's kind of running in circles, this just disbelief.
He's looking for somebody to celebrate with.
He was. And you know, when you go back and then you look at not only how big of a game that was, but who Houston had. So before we share the moment that I'm sure every listener is going to recognize, I've got to point out Houston had Akeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler, two NBA Hall of Famers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recall from that, the famous clip, the famous moment at the end of the game, it's been shown thousands of times. The clock ticked down to like 5 seconds, and NC State's Wittenberg just heaved a shot from nearly half court.
You can see the time. Wittenberg, oh, it's a long ways. They won it. On the dunk.
Wasn't even close. Came up really short. But Lorenzo Charles, who's the NC State center, just grabbed it out of the air in one motion, put it in the bucket. And it was just like this two-handed tip-in dunk that won the game. Now, circling back to the reason why, like, this was my number one, like, this game gave us Jimmy V. And Jimmy V inspired countless people.
I know I've got to go. I've got to go. And I've got one last thing. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever. I thank you, and God bless you all.
And in his name, the V Foundation, which was set up in 1993, has allocated over $353 million in grants for cancer research across the nation. And so that in itself, it not only solidified its position as the leading advocate for cutting-edge cancer research in the nation, but the ripple effect of that was more important than any, I would argue, any sports game in history. So Jason, I believe that brings us to where we go back over our top five picks. So very quickly, I'll give you my top five. My fifth was George Mason over Connecticut in 2006 in the regional final. My fifth was Villanova over Georgetown in the 1985 national championship game. My third was University of Maryland, Baltimore County, beating Virginia in the first round of the 2018 South region. My number two was Farley Dickinson beating Purdue in the 2023 first round East region. And my number one, NC State beating Houston in the 1983 national championship game.
And I had Duke
beating UNLV in 1991 is my number five. My number four was number 15, St. Peter's, beating Kentucky in 2022. My number three is NC State, beating number one Houston in 1983. My number two is Fairleigh Dickinson, beating Purdue in 2023. And my number one was number 16, University of Maryland, Baltimore County, beating number one Virginia in 2018.
Well, listeners, you enjoy this first weekend of March Madness, arguably the best weekend of sports all year long. Make sure that if you're going to be just sitting around watching games, you've already, if you're married, taken care of everything around the house so your spouse can do the same. Trust me, been married 22 years. That's important. And Jason, is there anything that you want to add before we go into what we're doing next?
The first two rounds of NCAA tournament, it's the best weekend of sports of the year for me. So I'm just going to be enjoying it along with everybody else.
So a couple quick things, listeners. First of all, if you listened to the last episode, you'll probably a little confused why we didn't cover the NFL top first round bust since 2010. It's because we didn't want to do it when we had March Madness coming this weekend. So we've recorded it and it'll be released a few days prior to the NFL draft. And the other thing of note is that Jason and I, we robbed the hopper to take the ideas of others to discuss for our next episode. However, we wanted to make sure we capitalized on the next weekend of March Madness games. So we're going to be covering, what is it, Jason? Top five what?
Top five buzzer beaters of March Madness.
What a time to do it. Thanks for joining, okay, listeners.
Well, we just robbed the hopper, and that means it's the end of our show. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star rating and review. It really helps a lot. If you have an idea for our next list, please email us at themanchairpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook on our Man Chair Podcast page, or you can find links to everything we own in our own little corner of the web at themanchair.com. The Man Chair Podcast is sponsored by Modern Husbands. Go to modernhusbands.com for ideas to manage money and the home as a team.